May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 447, omitting verse 3. Pity a helpless sinner, Lord, who would believe thy gracious word, but own my heart with shame and grief, a sink of sin and unbelief. Hymn 447, omitting verse 3.
Together for our instruction from the prophecy of Isaiah, two chapters. The first is chapter 50, the 50th chapter of Isaiah, and followed by chapter 59. The 50th chapter of Isaiah's prophecy. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bed of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness, their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, they compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 59. The 59th chapter. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity, and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. And that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday, as in the night. We are in desolate places, as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned back, away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to the adversary, a recompense to the enemies. To the isles, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon them, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord. From henceforth and forever. The Lord teach us from his own holy and yet precious word, and help us to pray. O thou who art in the heavens, thou who art holy, the majesty of heaven, and the glory that must be seen in the earth. O Lord, may we be humbled as we approach unto thee, realizing that thou art a God who cannot look upon sin. Yet we are sinners through and through. And so, Lord, to make us know and feel it, doth thou not cause us to hear the solemn word that will search out our heart and cause us to know that it is our sins that have separated us from our God. But oh, may it be the experience of our heart, weary of wandering from the Lord, and now made ready to return. If that, Lord, is indeed the case, and oh, we have to often say it is, Lord, in thy mercy, do grant us that understanding of thy great mercy. It is that mercy that we view in the mystery of godliness, of God manifest in the flesh, he who came down from the excellent glory and has condescended to us in our lowest state, and who could come to us in such a condition. O Lord, it is beyond our comprehension. We can only say with one, if we have known that condescending love and mercy, why me? And oh, we come and plead that we might know that returning love and mercy to our souls. For thou knowest, Lord, how it often is a question when we become about cold and faint, and we then feel our great lack, and who can make amends, who can then do what is needful to bind up the breach and to make sound the soul. O Lord, there is none. And as we have read, thou didst see there was no man. And therefore thy right arm brought that power to redeem, that power to save, and save me. Or was that not the desire of the hymn writer when he felt himself to be as one at the ends of the earth, and of the psalmist also? But Lord, when we may come there, may not our cry be, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For there is no other foundation which is laid than that which is Christ himself. And Lord, we pray that we may be built upon that one foundation. Lord, do preserve us from a building upon a sandy foundation, which in the day when a trouble may come, we shall fail. But Lord, the Christian's hope shall never fail. Though there may be many storms, though the floods may go over our head, though we may pass through fire and through waters, yet, O Lord, it is what is set before us in thy word, that most fearful of all shall prove they are saved at last. Lord, we do pray that therefore grant us those consolations of thy word, the comforts of love. Oh, do grant, Lord, thy gracious drawing to come with thy tokens. Grant us, Lord, that visit of thy dear self. We wait a visit, Lord, from thee. Oh, do not tarry if it could please thee. But if thou dost, Lord, then give us grace to wait. Do help us, Lord, to be patient and to be watchful. Oh, we prove that these two things are joined, a patient and a watchful spirit. And, Lord, therefore may we not be left to to either become complacent or to settle down, satisfied with something less than what thou alone wilt do and canst do. That, Lord, which we may have known in days gone by, when we felt the power of thy word and the effects of thy grace upon our own soul. Oh, do then revive us again, we pray. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt grant thy help in our gathering, as we are gathered together, to unite us, Lord, in that one spirit. Could it please thee to grant us that hearing ear to hear? May we feel a sweet liberty in hearing, and may there be a liberty in speaking. Oh, we pray that the word may go forth with power. There may be an entrance in to the hearts of those that hear, that it might, Lord, come where they are, that there may be blessing indeed, an enlarging of their coast, that there might be the growing in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that if it could please thee, that they may find that the word is as the sincere milk, that they may suck from those breasts of consolation, and therefore that may they be encouraged, even though they may have felt much to set them back and much to cause them sorrow, and that which has brought a struggle, an equal conflict, when it seems that the old man that struggles hard to gain the conquest over grace and seems to have gained the field, O Lord, do show thy gracious face and cause the shades of darkness all to flee. And may it be proved, Lord, that there does shine forth from between the cherubims, and so do come and save us. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon those not able to gather, but would be here. Some have their parental responsibilities, and others in their affliction, and others in their increasing age. Lord, if there is that desire and longing, oh, could it please thee to bless them where they are. We would, Lord, desire also to remember those that have experienced affliction in one way and another, and that, Lord, if thou hast been gracious and granted a little relief, given a little strength, oh, may thy heart be made thankful. May we indeed be enabled to ever give thee thanks, for thou art worthy of it. Lord, whatever we may be, and in our feelings, yet thy mercies are still the same, and there is no change in thee, no change in that everlasting love, no change in thy almighty power, that power to deliver. Lord, there's no change in all thy tenderness and compassion. Oh, we would thank thee, Lord, that that is still as constant as ever. But, oh, our poor fickle hearts, oh, we have to mourn over them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant thy gracious blessing upon the young and the rising race. Oh, we do seek that thou wilt bless, Lord, the generation which, if it be thy good pleasure, may grow up to take the room of us when we are passed beyond the bounds of time. Oh, we do, Lord, say that there may be that generation to call thee blessed. We do pray that if it could please thee, there may be found in their heart that good thing toward the Lord God. We pray, Lord, that they may seek to direct their way according to thy fear. Oh, may that fear of the Lord be that which regulates their every movement, and may they therefore seek to do what is right in thy sight. O, keep them from the many snares and from the many evils that abound in this day. And Lord, what besetments, oh, what temptations that are laid for their feet. But Lord, could it please thee to preserve them and to deliver them out of all those things. We do, Lord, pray that thou would be mindful of those who may desire. They do not feel they can get beyond a desire, yet they would desire to be found as one and numbered amongst thine own dear people who have been able to confess that thou art their only hope. But, O Lord, may they find that there is that which they can join in with, and that being that together with those that have gone in that way which they may desire to follow in, that the same may still be so with them. And, Lord, we pray that thou wilt therefore encourage and grant that grace to be given, that they may venture and venture in the way which thou hast set before us in that gracious example. And now, Lord, we would pray that thou wilt be mindful of the churches, the gatherings of thy people here and there. It is indeed a solemn and dark day in which we live, and we mourn the empty seats. Though we are thankful, Lord, if thy presence is found, even though there be but two or three. But could it please thee, Lord, to yet work, or to rend the heavens and come down? Oh, to appear for us in this our sad day. We have to confess that we have sinned, we have come short. But may, Lord, that arm, that hand, which is no less in its power to save, be put forth, and that there may be yet a gathering in, an adding to the church, those who are dead in trespasses and sins at present, yet may manifest to be brought under that powerful, convicting work of the Spirit, and then to come with true penitence and godly sorrow, and to find that there is mercy for them. Oh, we would pray then that there would yet appear, and so do hear us in these things. We would remember thy servants and desire thy help to them, particularly those that have to bear the greater burdens. Lord, there are those amongst them that have been laid aside. We would commend them to thee, and we would desire, if it could please thee, that thou wert restored, that they may again minister upon the walls of Zion. But we do also consider those in their old age, and one who must be near to that blessed eternity, because, Lord, he is not able to think of ministering again. But Lord, we would desire that thou would also raise up those to the work. There may be that thrusting forth, that going out, and that we may see labourers in the vineyard, even at this 11th hour. So, Lord, could it please thee to be mindful of thy little Zion, and do grant that the strengthening of the stakes and the lengthening of the cords, and that we may yet prove thy goodness to be displayed amongst the churches. And now do pardon us of our every sin, and make up in giving where we have failed in our asking. So we ask these things for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1087. Was it for sin, for mortal guilt, the Saviour gave his vital blood? For sin, amazing anguish felt, the wrath of an offended God. Hymn 1087.
the Lord may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 50, and read in the 10th verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50 and the 10th verse. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Who can comprehend the way that the Lord will lead his people? It may be thought that when the Lord begins his work, that the way will be light, the way will be plain, the way will have its many comforts and consolations, and the way that we shall then go may have its blessings strewn almost at every corner. But how very different it is for the child of God. And when we may find that faith surveys the way, it will clearly point out to us that it is in things hoped for, not in things that are seen. But we by nature like to see. We like to possess and have. But there is an emptying work that the Lord will do. There is that convincing work to show us what we are by nature. There is the revelation of the deceitfulness of our old heart and its desperate wickedness. And have we perceived the wickedness of which our heart may enter upon? How it would not only seek to do out and out evil that perhaps we have been guilty of in our past life. We may have to hang our head in shame considering the things that we have done, and in the way that we ran in our unregeneracy. But you may have to hang your head in shame also on account of sins against light and knowledge. And when you have known better, yet you have been left to yourself. But the deceitful heart will soon prove to bring another snare when the Lord's gracious work appears, and when we are brought into the blessings that the Lord is pleased to give, then our deceitful heart will seek to work the like things, as though it can give us rest or can bring us comfort. And we may for a time go on and eat the fruits. They seem to be pleasant enough, but they will soon prove to give us pain and sorrow. We find that we need, therefore, the Lord to graciously teach us and to show us what is good and what is evil. And so we prove the evil of our own heart more and more. And that is something that will be confessed by the child of God. The professor may think he gets better and better, but the child of God knows that in himself he will only get worse and worse. And worse in this sense that those things which never troubled him once now greatly trouble him. They bring him into the depths and they bring him into darkness. And it is this darkness that we may find we are in. And we cannot see our signs, and all seems to rise up like a froth, as it were, that may come to the surface, and that is all we can see. And we want something more than that. We want the realities. But now we fear lest all we have is the mere outward form. But when these things come about and we can only see and view them according to the sight that we have, and that sight may be like that of the man who saw men as trees walking. You may not perhaps feel to get beyond that, yet here is one that has given you sight to this degree. And that being so, a change is made in your heart and a change is made in your life. And therefore, instead of just being well into, look to the things of the flesh, you look to the one. You seek to the one who has brought you to know what you know thus far. But it seems nonetheless that you do not have the light that you would desire. Rather, it seems as though it is darkness. But then there is this. What you are now brought into is much opposition in your soul. There is a conflict. There is that experienced. And you have to cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And therefore, as you strive and struggle, and you seem to get nowhere in your struggling, and that seems as though it obscures every comfort and the blessing that you seek. But again, there may be those troubles that now do plague you. You find that the adversary begins to point his finger, to bring his railing accusation, seeking to condemn you, and to condemn you because he can see your quandary and fear. And what is the cause and the reason for these things? Can we indeed understand the mind of God in bringing such into our way? Yet Satan would have us believe that now there is no hope, but we continue to hope. And that may be the reason that brings you here tonight, that you come still with a hope. And though it may seem to be afar off, to be something that you scarcely dare to take hold of, and yet you have no other course than this. You dare not, but seek to him, the one in whom you have been brought to trust. You know there is no other foundation. You know there is no other one who is able to perform such a work of delivering grace. And though it may seem, and is that for you? Is that for me? Yet who can tell but that the Lord shall be gracious? And when we have the troubles, perhaps providential troubles, only seem to add to our cup of woe, it seems as though all things are against us. They were with dear Jacob, and there was much that cast him down. And when it was desired that Benjamin should be taken down to Egypt, oh, the great fear of Jacob. Joseph is not, Simeon is not, now Benjamin. He fell under the fear that the hand of God had gone out against him. But we may also consider Job's lot, all that he lost, that which he now experienced, the affliction to scrape himself with a potsherd to get some relief, yet it brought no relief. And what would his comforters? They only seemed to darken the counsel. But ah, though he walked in darkness, yet he did not lose that gracious, God-given integrity. And he would even come to say, feeling that God had turned to be his enemy, that though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He walked in darkness, and he seemed to have no light. And this experience of the Lord's people, it is that faith may then come forth to, as it were, give a response. It is then that faith works. It is then that faith may declare what it may see. What did Job utter in the midst of all his sorrow and pain? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And who could have expected him to utter such words, so definite? And yet, that was what Job believed in. And therefore, who is among you that feareth the Lord, obeyeth the voice of his servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. That name hasn't changed. And that name may bear certain variations. When I say that, you'll see what I mean as I go to explain. The name is Jehovah. The great, glorious God of heaven and earth. The one who speaks of being the I am that I am. The unchanging God in all holiness and in all judgment, but also in all love and in all mercy. But we find that therefore he is the faithful God, and he appears as the Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that will provide. And though we may walk in darkness, yet his name hasn't changed. Jehovah Jireh, it is still the same. But we put the emphasis upon one word of the interpretation. The Lord will. We come into the shalls and wills of Jehovah. The Lord will provide. But then we find that the name may bear this. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha. Oh, what a blessing it is that he will, that he healeth. I am the Lord that healeth. an ever-present God to heal. See there another emphasis. Well, here is the name in which, if we are a poor, sin-sick soul, we have nowhere else to go but to him that healeth. And the psalmist, he takes up the theme, doesn't he, in that 103rd psalm, where he says, "Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." And so we may read on, but we will leave it just there. Here then, Jehovah, that precious name, unchangeable. But then, we will not go through all, but we think of that name, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. Now, we may walk in darkness, in all our soul's feelings. We may feel, perhaps, to be in deep waters. Yet, here is one who is our righteousness. The vileness of your own heart may remain as an evidence of your old nature, which you still have to carry. But there is a new heart. There is that which now can rejoice in the perfect work of a Redeemer. The one who is our righteousness. Not the one that may just give or turn us to be righteous, but the one who is our righteousness. So who among you that feareth the Lord, whose fear has been brought into your soul because you have found that all your efforts to turn from your old ways, all the many approaches that you've made, the tears, the sighs, the groans, what have they brought forth? But when the Lord has given you that fear in your heart and godly sorrow has broken forth and tears of repentance have made you to there be humbled at the footstool of mercy. And there the Lord has granted you a sense of his loving kindness. That loving kindness, oh, how great. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, he came down. We read into the lowest parts of the earth. And he that descended is also he that ascended. That is where the consolation may come of this one who is now in heaven for you. But just one more thought upon this. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. We come to the end of that prophecy of Ezekiel, where there is set before us the occupying and the giving of the land throughout the tribes of Israel. Though the tribes there are spoken of in a mystical sense, that is, in a spiritual sense, not just literally. But we come to this, where it says, having spoken of the varying gates of the city upon which they may be gathered, around which they may be gathered. It was round about 18,000 measures that the city was measured, and the name of the city from that day shall be "The Lord is there." Jehovah Shammah, "The Lord is there." Well, he that walks in darkness, yet has the abiding presence of his God, he that will never leave nor forsake, he that will go with you through fire and through water, and has said, "When thou passest through the waters," the passage just seems to enter into the thought where I believe it does bring another aspect. Not only is the name of the Lord set before us, but also the fact that he calls us by name. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Who is among you that feareth the Lord? But this fear of the Lord, it is the work of the gracious Spirit. It's he that gives you that tender fear. It is he that will cause you to flee from the very thought of evil. And yet it is he that brings you to know the awfulness of that, and may cause you sometimes to tremble because you only realize how far short you come of the glory of God, and how that you may fear that you will be brought to nothing. But can those that the Lord has chosen, those that the Lord has called, ever be lost? Shall they come to nothing? Shall they find that in the end they are cast away? The Lord would cast away his name before he would cast off one of his own dear people. Now how we need to be brought, therefore, to realize the power of God in that salvation. He who formed all things, that he that formed the creation in the first place, he it is that has formed a people for himself, that they should show forth his praise, and they may glorify him in the fires of affliction. They may glorify him even in this path that they have to walk. But they will not be able to take any glory to themselves. They will not be able to boast then in this pathway. They will not be able to glory in sparks of their own kindling, because they have none. They see that those sparks are utter darkness. They only yield death. They only seem to perplex more and more. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. No merits can be looked to then in one's own self. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. A painful lesson that may be learned. About those that fear the Lord and obey the voice of his servant, and I will come to that in just a moment, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Here we may find that there is a firmness, a stability here, to be founded upon that solid rock. The storms may still blow, the waves still rise, but the rock of our salvation, upon which we stay, our only hope and comfort, the finished work of Christ. He who took our sin and bore it in his own body upon the tree, to shed that atoning blood which may pay the great debt of our sin. Wash us thoroughly and cleanse our every part. He whose righteousness alone will cover our poor naked soul, and he who is our high priest, to present us faultless unto the Father, that we may therefore find that this is our only confidence. The confidence begins and ends with the Redeemer, the Saviour of sinners. No confidence in the flesh, says the Apostle, but our sufficiency is of God. So we stay ourselves upon our God alone. Now here is real religion. When we've had to come off everything else, all that we've ever in fact looked to or depended upon. We come to this. Though still in the sense of felt perhaps darkness, yet only He can shine light into our soul. We look therefore for that day star to arise. We seek for the blessed earnest of His love and mercy. We consider that His gracious yet solemn appearances that we may fear will consume us, and yet we are not consumed. What a blessed evidence it was to the ancient people of God when He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Then here was a little hope. So Manoah and his wife considered that seeing the angel ascend up in the flame, would they not have been consumed if God had not had some mercy upon them? But here is the evidence of His mercy. Well now, who is among you that feareth the Lord, and that obeyeth the voice of His servant? What I wanted to just refer to here is this. We read in that fourth verse, the Lord God hath given the tongue of the learned, that I shall know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That is the voice of God's servant. That is the dear, blessed Redeemer. He who may speak that word to the weary soul who walks the wilderness, and often in the dark places, yet He speaks a word in season. And it is that word that the soul is brought to hear and obey. That is not only the word of the commandment to be obeyed, not just the precept, but also the sweet exhortation. But who will find they have those feet to run, except He puts strength into them? Who can lift up his head to look, except the Lord give the grace to do so? But it is at His commanding word. And when He therefore exhorts us unto those things, whether it is to come, to drink, to eat of Him, whether it is that we might receive from His hand what He is pleased to give, the grace is given, sweet grace. And we may perhaps come finding that there is such, and that God has given grace to obey the voice. Obey the voice of His servant. But in all the seekings of our soul, And those times when we feel to have to feel, as it were, our way along, and we seem to have little light in so doing, yet it is this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And he will have mercy upon him. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. To obey the voice of his servant, and there to find that he, our gracious servant, he walked the path, he knew what it was to there give his back to the smiter, and his cheek to them that plucked off the hairs. He knew what it was to cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew what it was to there experience darkness, who knew no sin, neither was gall found in his mouth. Therefore, if we are to know anything of the past, to know that he has entered into our pathway, then there will be that which we may realize, that in all the way that we have to walk, that he has also passed through that way. It is beyond perhaps our comprehension, yet it is a truth written. If thou art tempted, so was he. Deserted, he was too. As the hymn writer puts it, but the scripture says he was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. And so he was to suffer and to bleed and to die. But for whom? He, the just one, for the unjust. He, for the ungodly, as they are by nature. Yet he would save them with his power. And still that saving arm that brings salvation. When he looked and there was no man, and there was no intercessor, then we read that his arm brought salvation unto them. Then his righteousness, it sustained them. And we therefore find that his arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear the cry and the prayer of his people. And how they may often cry, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Or have you given up? Have you felt to give up prayer? But here is the encouragement to pray on. For the Lord himself will not leave one of his to sink. Not one. But they shall prove that strong arm of redeeming mercy. So who is there among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Still to wait on, still to trust, still to seek, still to cry, and to prove at last that he will appear. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Wallace will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Izzard on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
by the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with us. Amen.